course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. Just hanging out with my imaginary friend, Charlie. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, not good, if anything shows us anything. We are, as this drops a week out from Christmas, and we're in the holiday spirit today as we are reviewing the new take on Silent Night, Deadly Night. That's coming up in a bit. But also very Christmassy, we're going to talk about Creep Tapes, Season 2, Episode 5, Nick. Ike, what'd you think of this episode?
Honestly, this kind of falls into the similar category as the last episode we watched. I did enjoy it. It was a little bit different, and it was also holiday themed. Which is fantastic, but definitely did not break any new ground. I think this is pretty standard operating procedure, but like I said, it was a little bit different, and it was also holiday themed, so obviously I give it points for being holiday themed. I enjoyed it though. I don't think any of these episodes so far have been bad in any way, shape, or form.
No, I don't think it was bad either. I don't think this was a great episode. Without the holiday theme, I really thought, I think it might have really been kind of lacking. The holiday thing kind of was actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I think this episode just needed a little more. I was a little dissatisfied with the finish, a little bit, but it was okay. It wasn't bad, but the holiday theme kind of saved it somewhat. If it hadn't been for that, it might have fallen a little flat, but maybe they knew that. Maybe they were, you know, they didn't want to give away all the tricks in one episode. But still a very good series so far. And I look forward to the next episode. So besides that, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
I did a rewatch of the original Silent Night, Deadly Night, just because I was just, you know, wanted to have that kind of fresh in my mind. I was going to watch it with Kayla, but we weren't able to get that done. So that it's still on my agenda to show her as well. I also have been watching Supernatural still. I am on season 13 now. So we're now into the Jack stuff with the Nephilim, and the episode I just watched kind of introduced the Empty, which is a very unique thing. And I just also watched the episode where Asmodeus tries to get Jack to raise the Shadik or Shadim. And that's such a lost, like a completely non-utilized creature. Is the Shadik or the Shadim? I think Shadim. But it's like the proto-demons or something like that, whatever was created before the modern demons. So it was just a creature that they kind of threw in there to say, hey, this is a big bad. And good stuff so far. I really enjoy the Jack stuff. I think Jack's actor is really talented. So it's fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Jack. You're down the home stretch. Only a couple seasons left.
Yep.
to get through it. So, all right. Let's see. Did I watch anything? I don't believe I watched anything horror related, to be frank. I watched some holiday seasonal stuff. I watched, I don't know what else I watched. Oh, I did watch Andor, the series Andor, the Star Wars series. It was very, very good. I haven't watched that yet, so it's two seasons. I did watch that. It was exceptional. But no, I don't think I watched anything horror-related, so not much for me to contribute. I'm kind of in the holiday spirit and mostly watching holiday stuff right now. And I've not watched all the holiday horror yet. I have watched the original Silent Night, Deadly Night. I did watch the original Black Christmas and the new Black Christmas. So I've watched those. I haven't watched Krampus yet. I think that kind of completes my must watches as far as holiday horror. So I still got to watch that one. So we'll get it in probably this week. So All right, then. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will have news, birthdays, anniversaries, so stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right. Starting us off here, all episodes of It, Welcome to Derry, Chapter 1 is now available on HBO Max. For those of you who are waiting to binge it, like myself, this is a good time to jump on that, especially with the holidays coming up, if you need anything to watch. If you're not watching Stranger Things. But as I've heard through the grapevine, this also was greenlit for two more seasons. So I've heard really nothing but good stuff about this this first season. So I'll have to give it a watch here soon and give some thoughts on it.
I have watched it. I cannot recommend it enough. It is so good. So very, very good. It is one of those that as soon as you watch an episode, you cannot wait to watch the next one. Absolutely some of the best, quote unquote, television, series type things that I've seen in a while. So good. Just I'm itching now to rewatch the It movies. But these, I can't give away stuff, but it's just there's just so much good stuff packed into this series. It's so great. So I again, if you haven't watched it, recommend it for everybody out there. Give it a watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So very good. Like I said, I'm gonna probably get that watch here soon, maybe this weekend if I have some free time. But very awesome. But we're gonna hop now to New Fear's Eve is now available on Screambox. It is described as three best friends involuntarily prepare for Hooper Industries' annual New Year's Eve party, which turns deadly when a murderer sets his sight on them. And we'll, of course, be reviewing this movie next episode. Now, obviously, with the close read to Christmas, for some reason, this next week really didn't have anything. And I honestly, I don't even know if the next week either has anything that is horror specific being released in theaters. But as always, the streaming services, Shudder, Screambox, they're always primed and ready to give us something. So. Later on here in a second, we'll talk about upcoming releases and we'll have one from Shudder. But yeah, I mean, they've always got our back. I can always say that.
Yeah, but you know what I realize? Let's see. No. Well, we talked about reviewing this, but we really need to do our 2026 preview episode.
We do. I completely almost forgot about that because,
Yeah,
well, then
we can
we
still
could do
do a
the next
review.
one then.
We
Because
can still
the
throw a little review in there at the end of it
yeah.
because I think we'll still give it a watch and we'll see how it goes, whether we review it or not. But so we might throw that into the preview episode.
Oh
But
yeah.
maybe
Because
we'll see.
the next episode will be the first, not the 31st.
Yeah,
Gotcha.
which will be should be our review episode.
Gotcha.
So there you go. Next week will be actually be our 2026 preview episode, possibly still with a little review of New Fear's Eve, because I still want to give it a watch. So, and we'll see. We'll at least mention it a little bit. But yeah, so. That's what's coming up next episode. So, okay.
Very good, very good. But at, like we said, though, Screambox has always got your back. They've got some other stuff too coming out closer to the end of the year. So definitely keep your eyes on Screambox as they put out some more originals. But in some not so good news, on December 14th, Rob Reiner was killed, and I hear it's still an active ongoing investigation. And I know that right now the current belief is that it was a son, if I recall correctly.
They're I don't mean I know there's a process, but I don't think there's a lot of questioning to this,
Right.
but I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm not, I don't want to get into that aspect of it. You know, just he was extraordinary. And it's funny because, you know, my first exposure to him was on, you know, All in the Family, the Archie Bunker show, being the son-in-law, being, you know, what Archie Bunker was called, the meathead and stuff. And I would have never thought seeing that guy, I would, that he would have been the extraordinary director that he turned out to be. It's kind of weird because, but his, I mean, you can't even begin to talk through his resume and his films. Horror wise, I know he did Misery. I don't know if he's done a lot of horror. I mean, maybe, but I nothing jumps. I know he did Misery. But I don't know if what else he's done horror related. But I mean, non-horror, you can't even begin to list the films he's done. It's a pretty extraordinary list.
So the first movie that I ever saw him in, I'm trying to remember if it was, no, it would have to be, yeah. So in 2003, I don't know if you remember that movie. It was called Dickie Roberts, Former Child Star, with, oh, what the hell's that guy's name?
David
David
Spade.
Spade. Rob Reiner literally just plays himself. And the whole premise of the movie is Dickie Roberts is trying to get Rob Reiner to do his movie, or to cast him in his movie or some shit like that. So it's super stupid, but that's the first movie I ever saw Rob Reiner in. And obviously he plays himself, so it's hard to not be good at yourself.
But it's an unfortunate situation, of course, really, very, very tragic. Not even, despite whatever all the talent he has in her. I mean, just regardless of that, I mean, still, it's just that this kind of situation is horrible, no matter what it is, who it is. But yeah, it's just pretty shocking to wake up and hear that. It's like, whoa, pretty wild. So yeah, you know, I mean, it's a loss. It's a loss pretty much on all accounts. So.
Definitely. So our thoughts are with his family at this time, but obviously he is beyond talented and beyond recognizable on a global scale. So we would be remiss, even though he is not super heavily into horror, we would be remiss not to at least mention his impact because it exists everywhere. So moving on though, we'll talk about some upcoming birthdays here. We have three, so these are some good ones. So December 19th, 1949, we have Nancy Loomis Keyes, who played Annie in Halloween. It's weird because when you look back at some of these old movies, specifically this movie, I don't know if she did she ever do anything else after Halloween, or was it just like,
Well, she was in Halloween 3. Uh,
okay.
she she played what's it, Tom Atkins, whatever his, I can't remember his character. Remember, it was his ex-wife. That's
Oh,
her.
yes, okay.
Was she in? I want to say she was in The Fog.
Gotcha.
And stuff. I mean, she's done some stuff here and there like that, but yeah, lots of things like that. But I think everybody probably most thinks of her from that original Halloween. But she's done some other things though.
Gotcha. Well, that's good then. I know sometimes with those old movies, it's sort of like a, okay, we're just going to do this one and then I call it. But
I mean,
very
it's
good.
quite the trio there in that Halloween with, you know, Jamie Lee and Nancy, and then, you know, PJ Souls. I mean, that was quite the little trio right there.
Yeah, absolutely, it was. Yeah. As I know, PJ Souls went on to do a few other things, and obviously Jamie Lee did too. But yeah, absolutely. That's a hell of a trio. Such a good movie, too. Every time we talk about it, always reminds me, and I'm like, man, if I hadn't already just rewatched it again, maybe I will.
Never
But
gets old.
no. And it's ironic her name is Nancy Loomis. So like
Yeah,
Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street and then Loomis, Dr. Loomis.
I know. Yeah.
But that's fun. But happy birthday, Nancy. Hope you're doing all right. We're gonna hop now to December 21st, 1966. We have Kiefer Sutherland, of course. Known for his role in Lost Boys, and Kiefer, I mean he's been in so much, but I think the first movie I ever saw of him was Stand By Me, which is such a good movie too. But it's funny because Stand By Me was directed by Rob Reiner, weirdly enough.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it was written by Stephen King, and it has mm-hmm. arguably one of the most packed star power casts, even outside of Kiefer Sutherland, like Will Wheaton, River Phoenix, I think, Corey Feldman,
yep.
Jerry O'Connell, which we were talking mm-hmm. about last week. But I mean, oh, he's so good in that too. And Stand By Me is just a fantastic movie.
Yep, yep. But yeah, I mean, anybody though in The Lost Boys is just there for me. Such
Absolutely.
a great movie. My favorite vampire movie of all time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know that's your fave. So, but Lost Boys is super good, super duper good. If you've never seen it, so anybody out there who hasn't seen it, check her out. But speaking of Lost Boys, we have another birthday on December 23rd, 1971. In memory of Corey Haim, who, of course, was in Silver Bullet and The Lost Boys. Obviously, Corey Haim was taken from us too soon and, you know, was a fantastic talent. Lost Boys, again, a lot of people in Lost Boys were super talented. And, you know, apparently the Coreys and Kiefer Sutherland all like to work together.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, that was let's see, that's probably did that start kind of that stretch of the Coreys there, maybe right around then, where they started doing lots of stuff together. And then I remember them doing License to Drive together, and that was like the big push, you know, mainstream push one of the Coreys. And it's just a, you know, so movie. But I mean, everybody, it's like everybody talked about the Coreys at that time, and people would, oh, what's your favorite Corey, and all this. It was just, there was a lot of Corey fever at that time. But and I like them both. I like them both. And yeah. and I just see Corey Feldman is in. He's in both. I think both of the Lost Boys sequels that they did. That they were pretty much direct to DVD or whatever type. And I think Corey Haim was in. He was in one of them. I don't think both of them.
Yeah, I think Haim was just in the first one, and then Feldman was in the others.
Yeah. So. They're not great. I don't think they're horrible, but it's kind of hard to follow up that first one. The sequels kind of more focus on Feldman, the Frog Brothers or whatever they were in, and then Haim plays into it a little bit. It more focuses on them, but not a bad thing. And this mm-hmm. in this day and age, it would be cool to see them do some kind of little miniseries relating to it, because I think there could still be some life in the Lost Boys franchise if done right and done differently.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that vampires are still super relevant in the horror zeitgeist. So sure. I definitely think it would be possible to do if done right.
And we need cool vampires again, and
muscle
guys playing saxophone on the beach and all that cool stuff. That guy's still out and about, the saxophone guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure he was a meme for a while.
Yeah, he still gets out there and plays and stuff, and does. I mean, he's just a musician, pretty much. He wasn't really an actor. You know, they just got roles and stuff like that because he could play saxophone, and he had that you know, that kind of that rock star kind of look for a saxophone player, and it worked in Lost Boys. Very cool.
Such a weird time, the 80s.
That's right. Now I'm going to have to watch Lost Boys.
I was going to say, I have to go back and do a Lost Boys watch. I haven't watched it in a few years, so I'll definitely have to check that out again. But very good. Was it Timmy Capello, I think it was?
Yeah. Tim, yeah.
Because I was going to say, I was just looking, trying to remember which one it was. And then, yeah, he's in the his picture on IMDb is him with the saxophone. So
that's right.
Surely it's him.
He is the sax guy. I mean, he's still out there performing and doing who knows what. I'm sure he's got a few other acting credits under his belt after that, at least. But
well, I'm sure it has to be.
All good movies need a saxophone player. So
true. All the classics.
That's right. Just working in there.
But happy birthday to you, Corey. That was the original point of that.
That's right.
You know, like not, I said, it
not Sexy Tim, it was Corey.
No, Sexy Tim was not the birthday this time. But
You'll get his turn, probably.
he'll get his turn eventually. I think his birthday is in, it looks like May, so come May, maybe we'll throw him in there.
That's right. We got to have him in there.
That's right. We'll call back. But very good. Moving now to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We have December 20th, 1974. Of course, Black Christmas, the OG. I said I gotta watch this one here coming up in this next week or so, just because this is that prime time for all, horror Christmas. But Black Christmas is great. The original is an iconic film that has been remade a few times over the years. So I'm sure they'll remake it again at some point.
Probably. They've already did it once. Yeah, give it some time. They'll do it again probably. But I'm kind of partial to the original. The remake was not bad. Like I said, I hadn't watched it until recently. It was not bad, but I have a very soft spot in my heart for the original, and I rewatch it every year. Or I've already rewatched it this year, and it's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I was gonna say Black Christmas is always good. It's a good rewatch every year. And it's not terribly, it did not age terribly as some of those movies did. This one was
No.
still holds up pretty well, I think.
Except for the phone call thing. I mean, a lot of people look at me, what is that?
Right.
The phone. How's the call coming from in the house? What? Why is that phone got a cord on it?
I'm pretty sure it was a rotary phone, wasn't it? Yep. Good times back in the Dizzy
That's right.
era. But all right, December 20th though of 1996, so about 22 years later, after Black Christmas, we got the iconic Scream, the OG. Again, this is our obligatory Scream talk for this episode.
It
It always
works its way in every episode.
every time it worms its way in like a brain worm. But yeah, Scream every time. But no, great movie, obviously. We love Scream. Super excited for that. We'll probably talk more about Scream in our next episode when we
I'm
talk about
sure.
our
Absolutely.
2026 preview.
We got to.
But no, absolutely. Scream's great. We love Scream. Iconic for sure.
Yeah, I'm not gonna sit here and go into it all again. Like we said, we've done it. I mean, to me, it was genre changing. It was one of those
Yeah.
movies that kind of shifted the way things went, and then it was severely copied after in the style and approach. And you can say what you want about the sequels and whatnot, but the original is just so clever and just so well made, and just it was so good. Just hats off, Wes Craven.
Yeah, absolutely. Good old Wes Craven, one of the OGs of horror. But very good. We're gonna now jump to December 22nd of, you guessed it, 1932. We have The Mummy. The Mummy, it's so weird. The Mummy is one of those weird like little pieces of horror history that really, I mean, it's gotten some remakes, but I don't think we've ever gotten like a true to form remake of this mummy. Like everything's been sort of a derivative. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the Brendan Fraser mummy stuff, and I the Tom Cruise the mummy movie was just a complete flop. But like, I would love to see like an old school like toilet paper mummy type deal, be made into like a modern film. Like, I would love
Sounds
to see that. You know what I mean?
like somebody needs to get a Guillermo del Toro on the horn, and it sounds like something he could do.
Honestly, Guillermo del Toro just needs to remake all the Universal
That's
Monster
right. He
movies.
does. Just expand them and do it. I mean,
Just full send.
sure, go for it. I'd be down. I'd watch them all.
I would
But
too.
yeah, I mean, The Mummy again. The Mummy, I love it. It's a great movie. It's one of those. I know if you're a modern horror fan, you look at a movie like The Mummy and you're like, "What is this? This is not horror. This is just you got to remember perspective and time period. This is 1932." You're not getting slashers and blood. This is what you got. And this was creepy and scary and unknown. And that it, you know, so when you watch these movies, you have to appreciate that the time period it was in, and that it was a predecessor and laying the foundation for what was to come. So you got to crawl before you can walk.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But all right, I think that does it for our anniversary. So we have one upcoming release. I kind of mentioned earlier, buried the lead a little bit. But Screambox had a movie, and now Shudder also's got a movie coming out on the 19th. Shudder will have Queen of the Dead, I'm sorry, Queens of the Dead on December 19th, and it is described as drag queens and the club kids battle zombies craving brains during a zombie outbreak at their drag show in Brooklyn, putting personal conflicts aside to utilize their distinct abilities against the undead threat. I don't remember what the movie is called, but there was another one.
Yeah, no. Look this up real quick. Is this the one that's been, was done is being done by George Romero's daughter?
It might be Queens.
Now that because I remember us talking about this a while back when it was first being announced and stuff, and I believe now and it kind of clicked in my brain that it's either this or one similar to this is the movie being done by George Romero's daughter.
Yeah, yep, it is. It's Tina Romero is the director, and it is the daughter of George A. Romero. So yeah, that's correct. I remember that too. As soon as you said that, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess. She was going to do something. But
I was planning to watch this anyway, but now I'm definitely on board. I want to see what that's got me even more intrigued. So not only next episode will we probably do a little chit chat about New Fear Z, but we may have to do a little chit chat about this too, because I'm probably definitely going to give us a watch for next episode, because I remember now I was very much looking forward to this movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But very cool, very cool. I asked, I completely overlooked that, but Shudder's got our back. Screambox got our back. So
that's right.
I mean, it's always a good time. Steph, love. So we love these streaming services. And the fun thing about these streaming services, they don't have ads. They don't have an ad tier,
right.
Unlike these leeches over at Disney, Hulu, and Netflix.
Yes.
Anyways, don't get me started. But all right, that does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. We will take a quick siesta, but when we come back, we will have our official review of Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Alrighty, and we are back here on Listen to Their Screams, and we are reviewing I guess we can call it a remake, but of Silent Night, Deadly Night, but it's not really a direct remake per se. The movie is written by Mike P. Nelson, Michael Hickey, and Paul Kimini, directed by Mike P. Nelson, starring Rowan Campbell, Ruby Modine, and others. Released in a limited theatrical run on December 12th, and it did gross $1,023,784 domestically on its opening weekend, which was good for number 12. And then I will, you know, like I said, I will say, you know, I say remake because in theory, in concept, this is the same premise as the original movie. You start it kind of at the same point A, but it really does its own thing from there. And it very much, let's see, I don't want to be spoilery, but this movie very much doesn't make Billy to be a bad guy. It kind of turns him into almost a sympathetic hero.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you're kind of watching what he's doing. And there was some of that in the original too, right? Because he was killing what he perceived to be bad people. But in this one, he's killing what are truly bad people. Still, again, it's not spoilery because they put it out there. It's still super satisfying to see Santa rough up and kill some Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
Such a fun scene. And I love seeing how he got to it, because I was very curious how he got to that whole incident anyway. But so I liked how that happened. They kind of took the idea of the concept of the original, took it a few steps further. And it was fun. There were parts of it that I was, it was a little, and when it started off, I was like, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to like this. Cause it started if after it set the foundation, it felt weird to me at first, when it got going, I was like, I don't know. This movie is just not flowing and not clicking for me. And then I don't know where or where it came, what point it came to, but then it really kind of found a groove to be for me. And I thought, okay, now it's okay. And it was fun. Again, there's to me nothing super extraordinary or original about this movie. They took the original, they ramped it up for modern days. They did your slasher tropes. There were some good kills, some different things, a little bit of a supernatural aspect to it, so to speak. And and that kind of that up in the air ending, a little bit. You don't know what's to happen next. They did make sequels to the original, not nearly as good, but they did make them. But all in all, I did enjoy the movie. It was fun, to see yet another Christmas horror movie. And I liked it enough that I could very much, I would, think each year I'll probably rewatch it around this season. Again, I like Rowan Campbell, and he did really well in this. He kind of played almost seemed like the same character that he played in Halloween Ends. It just felt like a very, very similar character. Yeah, it was fun. I liked it. Again, nothing groundbreaking or shattering. Just to me, just a good, fun little Christmas slasher. That I enjoyed. Again, in and out in 90 minutes. Right in the wheelhouse, the sweet spot of where these movies really should stay. And they didn't try to redefine anything. They just wanted to make a fun little movie, and I think it worked. I think it clicked for me. So now I don't want to say I like there was an aspect of the movie. How do I don't want to say something because it won't really give a lot away, but kind of a countdown aspect of it, so to speak, that I thought was pretty cool. I like that they kind of added that in there. I thought that was kind of clever. And maybe it's been done before, but I've never really seen that. And I always thought to myself, "Huh, why hadn't somebody done that before?" And maybe they have. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. So, Ike, what'd you think?
I guess the first thing I would say is, if I had a nickel for every time Rowan Campbell played a serial killer who puts on an item who makes them kill people, I would have two nickels, which is not a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice. That's a little nod for anybody who's not seen the movie yet. But listen, I went into this not really knowing what I was expecting, right? The trailers, they don't really give you a whole lot. They just kind of give you the gist of it, right? Rowan Campbell plays Billy. Billy gets dressed up and kills people. Okay, cool. I will say that I kind of like that they Dexterfied him a little bit, right? He's a bad guy, but he's not an evil. You know what I mean? Like, he kills people, but he only kills bad people. And I'm not going to spoil how he knows these people are bad, but there is an aspect to this that makes it make sense. You know what I mean? Sort of like, I don't want to say it, but like, it kind of reminds me of like Chucky a little bit. Like, you know how Charles Lee Ray gets into the doll? That's all I'm going to say.
It makes sense within the world of horror.
It makes complete sense. And honestly, to me, comparing the two, I do like this version better. Because for people who have not seen the original, basically the premise of the original is that Billy is just so mentally scarred by stuff that happened as childhood. Which is effectively the same thing what happens in this one, right? You know what I mean? His parents get murdered, which again is not a spoiler. That's the basic premise of the original movie. His parents are murdered, and if you have not seen the original movie, it was in the 70s, right? It's like 78, right? So again, if you've not seen it, you're like 50 years
No,
too
no,
late.
no.
Anyway,
It was like an 84.
84, my bad. I always forget the years on these, so you're only 40 years too late. But basically, the basic premise is that he got some fucked up shit happened to him, and he started killing people. So this one, to me, makes it make a little bit more sense. It's not a total just 180 of like, oh, he had some fucked up shit happen to him, and all of a sudden he snaps. This gives a rhyme and a reason to why Billy does the things that he does. And the movie ends on a perfect lead to make another movie. Which I think they 100% should. I would watch that movie, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. in the movie, you know, you have all these, I mean, there were no weak performances. All the people in the movie did a really good, fantastic job. Rumi Modine, which, did you know that Rumi Modine is related to Matthew Modine, who plays Dr. Brenner in Stranger Things, Papa?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I did not know that. I don't know
no.
why I didn't put those two
Yeah,
together.
no. I mean, I didn't actually know they were related, but yeah, I know who Matthew Modine. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's her dad. Like, they're both super talented. I love Rumi Modine because I've seen her in like Shameless, and she's also in Happy Death Day. But so I love Rumi Modine, but also I love Matthew Modine. He did a fantastic job as Dr. Brenner in the show. Perfectly hateable character. I mean, but yeah, I never knew that they were related. I guess Modine is not a very common last name, so I probably
No.
should have ascertained that, but I just simply didn't. But anyways, Ruby was great. Obviously, Rowan Campbell's great. And I want to give a special shout out to a character, Charlie. I'm not going to say what his character is, but Mark Akeson is a super underrated actor. He's been in so much stuff that I've seen, but like he did such a good job in this movie. Truly, again, a very easily hateable character, but in reality is not that evil. Right, like you think he's evil, but he's really not. And I just honestly, I really enjoyed the movie. My one criticism is not of the movie, but of the movie theater we went to. The movie theater we went to was so fucking cold. Like it was like 40 degrees outside, which is cold for Florida, guys. And the movie theater had the fucking AC on. It was literally blowing cold air, and my poor wife Kayla was shivering the entire movie because she brought like a jacket. She was literally wearing like a thing that covers her ears and was wearing gloves in a movie theater because it was that cold. Like, I shame on them. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I was cold and I don't usually get cold, but I was shivering too. I was like, what is going on right now?
They wanted it to feel like Christmas.
Apparently, I couldn't even enjoy my freaking holiday Coke Zero because it was cold.
Like a slushy.
It pretty much was. If I shook the cup hard enough, it probably would have slushed. But no, honestly, the movie was great. I don't really have a whole lot of criticisms because to me, it really kind of reflected on like the cheesiness of like 80s horror, but really brought it into the modern day in a very neat way. And like you said, I mean, if they're killing Nazis, I'm having a good time, so I
Sure.
can't complain.
Yeah, and it was a yeah, it was kind of unique that I don't think this is a big necessarily a spoiler, but it's a Billy seemed very well adjusted for what
He did.
he was very it's like he was very astute of the whole his whole situation and what happened to him in his past and I mean he tells it all, but yeah, that dude had been through some stuff, and not just the parents. I mean, there was other stuff that he talks about, and so yeah, I mean, kind of like in the
Been through
original.
some shit, man.
That's right, kind of like in the original. Maybe you're not surprised what's happening, and but yeah, again, it was good fun, good Christmas holiday fun. I kind of can't wait for it to come out. On streaming, I think it will be fun next year to watch the original and this just back to back, just one, two. I think it'll be cool because I, again, like I said, while they have that same starting point, they're really two different movies, really. I mean, they have the same concept of character development, or at least character birth, but then they kind of go their own little ways a bit. I mean, they're doing some of the same things, but some of the reasonings and aspects and it's there's some distinct differences, and so I love each movie in a different way, and that's kind of unique, right? I don't because it does have the spirit of the original, but it doesn't feel like it just completely kind of blatantly redid it. So.
Well, and I was going to say, it's like when you watch the original, obviously the original is an 80s slasher, okay? So we're talking cheese, we're talking camp, we're talking just unruliness. And it's fantastic. That's what the 80s was all about. But this, what they did was is they took the concept of Silent Night, Deadly Night, and instead of just making it campy, they made it campy, but also, and I hate using the term, but they made it smart, right? they didn't just go into it like willy-nilly. They had a very intentional approach to it. And it obviously made sense. And I think that it, you know, for a independent film, because it was made by Cineverse, which is like Screambox's like production house type deal that makes a shit ton of their movies.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times with Cineverse, you know, I do think that it's kind of like a 75-25. 75% of the time, you're going to get a pretty nicely produced film that looks pretty clean. It's a lot of fun. But 25% of the time, you know, Cineverse can sometimes put out some, they're not stinkers. Some of them are. But sometimes they're a little underproduced, I feel like. I feel like they kind of just were flying by the seat of their pants. Yeah. But this movie felt very well produced, and it had decently, I mean, I don't know if you can call them A-listers. I don't even know if you, I wouldn't say they're B-listers, but I wouldn't say they're A-listers. They're like B-plus listers. You know, like Rowan Campbell and Ruby Modine aren't household names per se, but they're also not like unknowns. So, you know, if they wanted to go the true 80s route, they would have definitely cast like a bunch of no-namers. But in this one case, they kind of gave you some buy-in because these are characters you know or seen before, but also like, they didn't just do a Shropshire remake, and that's obviously not what we want them to do. We want them to give some flavor and some, you know, some curtailment to that. So I don't know. I like how they did it. I wish more remake reboot kind of people would do this versus a shot for shot trying to relive the 80s. Like, you can relive those days by making a modern adaptation. That's what I would want to say to people, is like, you don't have to do period pieces. You can make it just be like a modern translation, just using what people like in this day and age, but still getting that essence, which you've got the essence of Silent Night, Deadly Night. If you watch the two movies side by side, like a 1-2 punch, it's going to be an enjoyable watch because you're going to get the 80s version and you're going to get the 2020s version, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like there was a montage of kills in this movie that to me was a very, salute to the original. It felt, and that one was a little more of the let's just give it a brief moment of just super fun stuff, you know. It didn't, you know, it just was a, I don't want to say much about it, but to me that little part was more of a let's salute where we came from here and everything else. So yeah, and you're where you are in Supernatural, you're not too far from Mr. Rowan Campbell making an appearance there.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were talking about that the other day. I was like, I'm pretty sure he's in Supernatural somewhere, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. He's in he's in a Michael episode. So when Michael's trying to take Kansas City, and he's in an episode with Garth. So
love Garth.
Yeah, that's right. And all right. So again, you know, this was super fun. To me, it was smart as fun. I still think I'm just going to just give it just kind of a straight 3. I lean maybe to go just a touch higher, but I'm just going to keep it kind of middle of the ground. It's not a bad thing. I think I'll just keep it 3. So Ike, what are you giving it out of 5 screams?
I am going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. I'm not going to give it quite a 4, but I do think that it did a little more than the standard 3. I think that it was just a hair, like it was right on that borderline, right? It was like, you know, I think we kind of both feel that way. It was right in that borderline of 3, 3.5.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like I would lean more towards the 3.5, and you're leaning more towards the 3. So I think a 3.25 average is perfect.
Yeah. Definitely a fun little watch. Definitely, like I said, probably one that will go into my holiday rotation every year. It'll be super fun to rewatch. So, like we pretty much brainstormed and hashed out earlier, next episode is going to actually be our 2026 year in preview. And now we might talk a little bit about New Fear's Eve. We may talk just a touch about Queens of the Dead. Probably won't be full on reviews. But the primary focus of the episode will be to preview upcoming releases for 2026 that have been announced right now. Of course, it's all subject to change, but things that we know are coming, and, you know, including there's, you know, Scream 7 coming. We know Crystal Lake's coming out next year, and I don't know what else. I think the new Conjuring movie's supposed to be out next year. That's just off the top of my head. So, you know, we've got some exciting things to talk about, but we'll dig a little deeper, talk about some other things, you know, after we do a little research. So that is coming up, and then we'll follow that the week after with a our first episode of 2026, which will be our review of 2025, and that will include our countdown of our favorite five movies, horror movies from 2025. Not that necessarily what we think's best or most well produced, just what we enjoyed best, just what we had the most fun watching for 2025. And this one's going to be interesting because I don't feel like there's anything that just ran away. A couple movies, I don't know, there's a couple movies that really jump up pretty good, but it'll be an interesting conversation. So looking forward to that. But yeah, we'll focus first of all on previewing what's coming ahead in the new year. Thank you to our wives and then all of you listeners and followers for all of your support and everything that we do. And if you want to continue to support us, the best way to do that is to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number Two and Screams. You will find us there. Make sure you click the subscribe or the follow, whatever button it is. Make sure you comment on our posts, share our posts, interact with us. You can ask us any questions you want in the comments under these posts. We share all the news, birthdays, and anniversaries that we feature here on the show, plus so much more on our social media. So make sure you are following us there. So Ike, before we close out this episode, anything you want to add?
So I will say, we're kind of talking about the preview episode and kind of like all that good jazz. I'm going to give this is not really a sneak peek. I think I mentioned this before, but for sure on my 2026 preview, at least when we, because obviously behind the scenes, Dave and I will formulate our own lists, mm-hmm. and we'll kind of compare notes. But I know for sure on my list, at least my honorable mentions, depending on how the comparisons go, we'll have Return to Silent Hill on it.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that is coming up. Yeah.
Well, and it comes out in January. And
that's right. Finally, right?
Right. And finally. Well, I was going to say two things. Before the Silent Night, Deadly Night, I'm not sure what theater you went to, but before Silent Night, Deadly Night, there was a trailer.
Uh-huh.
And I read online that different types of theaters got different previews, specifically with AMC, so that you probably didn't see the trailer. But they had a little sneak peek for Return for Silent Hill. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. But the point that I brought that up, apparently, as I was remembering, the last two previews that we've done, I have mentioned this movie.
Really?
So, yeah, at least to some degree. I don't know if it actually made it onto the list. I think last year it made it onto the list because I was so convinced that it was going to come out this year, and then it fucking didn't. The year before, I don't remember how it came up. I don't know if I brought it up specifically because it was going to come out or if it was rumored. I think it was just rumored at the time. But, excuse me, for sure it's coming out now. It has a release date. It is the Cineverse is distributing it. So we are for sure going to get it in January, but it's just crazy that I've been talking about this movie for years now. And it's finally getting a fucking release. So I hope it does not blow, because if it sucks ass, I'm going to be so mad.
Well, you know, we have all the favorites here. Talk about a preview episode without a scream in there. I don't think we had one this last year, but because we...
No, we were pretty positive it wasn't coming out.
Yeah, at that point, I believe we were discussing the Scream. We thought Scream was dead in the water for a while.
Yeah.
And then
that was shortly after Melissa Barrera and Jen Ortega exited the project. So yep. We were, because 2024 was when all that happened. So we were definitely thinking, yep. Well, this is just fucked.
Yeah.
Same thing with Crystal Lake.
Yep. I was so convinced that they would just shelve it for a bit and let it cool down before coming back to it. But nope, they went full steam ahead. But yep. We will talk more about that again. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. And that's, again, we've not even begun to dig and really research. That's just stuff off the top of our head we're remembering. There's surely lots of other things that we're not thinking. But even if we just got those, that's still a good discussion. A New Scream, A Crystal Lake, Silent Hill. I don't know. I know there's more. But those are going to be some fun conversations. So, but that is next week, our 2026 preview episode. So make sure you hit subscribe and go ahead and click that auto download. You don't want to miss anything. You want to make sure that sucker is right there waiting for you. When you get up, you'll see it'll drop on Christmas Day.
Yes, it will.
So as you're out there traveling, visiting, you know, hitting the roads, visiting your 50 stops, if that's what you do, you got the dulcet tones of Ike and Dave previewing horror in 2026. to help you get through the chaos. So you're welcome. We're there for you. And who knows, with it being a Christmas episode, I'm sure we'll be in a jolly little mood. So it should be fun. So, all right, but that's next week. So until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.